This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're surprisingly staying on the surface of the planet Earth with an abort at Blue Origin. Bob Zimmerman is here to help us understand what's happened with Bezos's rocket company. Bob, it's been so long since we've spoken of Blue Origin, and I want to speak positively. What is the business plan at Blue Origin, and why did it abort? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I'm not going to necessarily speak positively about Blue Origin. Blue Origin, this big company that Jeff Bezos is funding, that's supposed to be, you know, a rival to SpaceX and do all this wonderful stuff, has really accomplished very little. What it has accomplished, the one thing it has accomplished and has been flying operationally, is its New Shepard suborbital reusable spacecraft. And they have launched it, I don't know, about a dozen times with people on board, passengers, over the last year plus. They've actually done about half a dozen commercial flights. One flew William Shatner, making money, putting passengers on a short hop, suborbital hop into space, 100 kilometers, 70 miles. And they've been, you know, doing that. That's about the only thing Blue Origin has actually built and flown so far. This past week, they did another flight of New Shepard suborbital flight. This particular flight had no passengers on it. They instead, the customers were all experiments or payloads on the space capsule that were not people. That was, you know, different scientific experiments or other kinds of things. And so they launched. And about a minute into the flight, there was an anomaly, to use the neutral word. Something went wrong with the booster stage. And we've got to remember that New Shepard is made of two parts, a booster and a capsule. Once they reach a certain height, they separate. The booster comes down, lands vertically with rockets like SpaceX's Falcon 9 first stage. And the capsule eventually comes down on parachutes and lands gently. Well, this happened while the rockets on the booster were still firing as it was rising up. Something went wrong with that booster. So the abort system on the capsule immediately activated, separated the capsule from that booster, and accelerated it up out of the way so that its parachutes can release and could come down safely. So that capsule didn't return safely, but it never got above 35,000 feet elevation, so it went nowhere near space. And the booster, they never showed us video of what happened to the booster afterward, but it probably was destroyed. It definitely did not land vertically. It was destroyed. And so there's an investigation going on. The FAA is doing it right now. They will certainly not be launching passengers for a while they figure this out. The booster we're using on this particular flight was a booster. It was an older booster that was used on previous unmanned test flights. It was not the booster that they've been using on the manned flights. So they still have that booster, and they could do manned flights later with that booster. But I suspect that nothing's going to happen until they figure out why the booster failed the other day.
I will say this is a very large disappointment, Bob. I thought that Blue Origin had solved this matter and was going to get on to building its New Glenn rocket. But this looks like they've got problems that we hadn't entertained. It looks like they almost look like a startup, Bob.
Well, they are a startup. They haven't gotten anywhere. They're still a startup. They haven't launched New Glenn. It's only 3 years behind schedule. And their delays have also delayed the Vulcan rocket from ULA, because that's depending on Blue Origin's BE-4 engine, which is also 3-4 years behind schedule. So they are a startup, but they're a startup that isn't accomplishing anything. There's a lot of others. In the 5 years since they were supposedly going to be launching, there are now three different new rocket companies that have come out of the nowhere to launch rockets. And before the end of the year, three more are expected to are going to try to launch. That's six companies that came out of nowhere and are launching rockets while Blue Origin goes nowhere. And I'm very skeptical of this company right now. There's a lot of questions. It doesn't mean they can't succeed. I would love them to do it, but their track record has not been encouraging. I should point out that as a reusable rocket, now, here's the thing to understand. SpaceX has been having reusable rockets for a while. Along the way, they had some failures. And failures occur, and so this could be an example of that. A reusable rocket, though, should be more robust, and things should not go wrong. Well, so SpaceX had some things go wrong, and they fixed it, and they moved on, and they've now gotten a system that's incredibly reliable. They launched the first stage for the 14th time, a record just this week. So Blue Origin could still recover from this. It's just unfortunate, John.
We go to China. The PRC's program is non-transparent. It's a military program, and it's extremely sloppy. They've dropped another, what, debris, a rocket, a booster on the Philippines? What did they drop up?
They have a new rocket called the Long March 7A. So they launched a communication satellite. We think it's military. They don't tell us. The Long March 7A launches from their coastal Wenchang spaceport. So you'd say, oh, it's going up over the coast like Florida. The expendable first stages will just fall into the ocean, right? Well, it appears, according to the Philippine Space Agency, that the notices that China sent out about where those stages are going to drop, some of the stages are going to drop over the Philippines. Now, most of it is ocean, so most of it, the odds are very slim it'll land on any islands. But nonetheless, China was dropping expendable stages from its Long March 7A over the Philippines. And they're once again indicating how they are very nonchalant about following the Outer Space Treaty, about not recklessly dumping rocket stages on or objects on other people.
This is not a first-rate organization. And, Bob, if there was an American company conducting its affairs this way, they'd be shut down immediately. That'd be the end.
Well, I'll give you a good example. SpaceX has had a few cases where upper stage parts have fallen on land near habitable facilities, and SpaceX has aggressively moved right afterward to prevent that from happening again. And they take action. China doesn't take action to fix this problem. If anything, they're spreading it around and doing it more.
SLS, the Space Launch System that disappointed earlier in the month, has now set a new date, but it has a backup date, and it also is still on the pad, I learned from Bob. The last I checked in, Bob, they were rolling it back to the VAB. What have they done since the disappointment?
Well, when they tried to launch a few weeks ago, they had a hydrogen leak. And so they just made a decision to try to fix the hydrogen leak on the launch pad rather than rolling it back to the assembly building, because if they fix it on the launch pad, they then can immediately do a fueling test to see if the fix worked on the hydrogen leak. And they've now fixed the leak, and on September 21st, in about a week, they're going to attempt a fueling test to see if that leak worked on the launch pad. Here's the problem. They are now aiming, NASA would like to launch SLS now on September 27th, a week after they do that fueling test. But to do that, they've got to get permission from the range office, which is a military operation that determines the safety of every launch and is the one that is in charge of destroying an out-of-control rocket if it launches and goes out of control. And that the self-destruct system is called the flight termination system. This is batteries that, according to the range office, must be checked every 20 days to make sure those batteries are charged and will make the flight system termination system work. Well, the batteries on SLS, when they attempted to launch on September 5th, were already past their use-by date. They were already 24 days past the use-by date, and the range had actually given NASA a five-day extension. But now NASA is asking for an extension that would be 46 days. That's more than twice as much as the 20 days normally given. Now, the range has not yet approved this. I can't imagine the range going along with this. If they do, there's a lot of corruption going on, because this is a first launch of an untested rocket. Such rockets are extremely likely to go bad. There's a lot of things that can go wrong when you're launching a rocket for the very first time. It is also NASA's most powerful rocket it's built since the Saturn V. It's not the most it's not more powerful than Saturn V, but it's close. And so here you've got one of the most powerful rockets ever launched, never launched before, so it's therefore a test launch where something can go wrong, and NASA's asking the range to allow them to launch it with a unreliable flight termination system. That's really what the story is. The press isn't picking it up because NASA is kind of hiding it in its announcements. But this is the real story here. And if NASA gets approval to do this, this is no different than the Chinese dumping stages on countries recklessly. It is just as bad, if not worse. And if you lived in Florida, you should be in an uproar over this possibility.
I need some good news, Bob. That means we're going directly to SpaceX. We're not pressing go. We're not collecting $200. Give me some news, good news from SpaceX, Bob.
Yes, SpaceX's version, its version of a heavy lift rocket, better than SLS because it's going to be reusable and cost a lot less, and its development is moving much faster. They have successfully done a static fire test of Starship prototype number 24 using all six engines. This is the first time all six engines on a Starship prototype were fired at the same time. And they did this test about a week ago. It was an 8-second long static fire test. And the rocket was bolted down to a test stand, and they fired the engines for 6 seconds, for 8 seconds, I'm sorry. The amount of power that the Raptor engines produce is the most powerful engine that exists in the world right now. And six of them flying at once was so strong a burn that it literally melted the top layer of the concrete below the rocket and sent a hailstorm of hot concrete all around, which actually started a brush fire that took a while to put out, a big brush fire. SpaceX is going to get criticized for that, and maybe they should be. But nonetheless, they have now done a test fire of Starship prototype number 24. This is in preparation for that first orbital flight, which SpaceX wants to do before the end of the year, John.
And more SpaceX good news. Bob, the reason we feature SpaceX is not only because they're successful, it's because they're transparent. They tell you when something's wrong. They demonstrate everything. I watch it on these video packages that come from amateurs who train cameras on the Boca Chica site. There's nothing comparable like that in Blue Origin, is there, Bob?
No. Blue Origin has been very secretive and not transparent at all. It's never been. That's Jeff Bezos's way. It keeps it secret. And it's not, I don't think it's a good way to do things. Because when you're transparent, you're telling your own people, get it right, because everyone in the world is going to see if you get it wrong. And if you do get it wrong, be honest about that so that the public will see you're trying to fix the problem very aggressively. And that's SpaceX's attitude. And it improves their quality of work, I think.
Right.
It forces them to do better. So anyway, SpaceX has – the FCC had awarded SpaceX a $900 billion subsidy award for providing rural community broadband to rural areas. And then the FCC, about a month ago, took that award away. They suddenly said, no, we're not going to do it.
Well,
a cancellation of the award that, by the way, one FCC commissioner said didn't appear lawful. Well, SpaceX has now appealed that cancellation of the award, basically saying they're being held to standards that no other bidder is being required to hold to. We'll see how this goes. I personally think the whole program is a ripoff on the taxpayer. The SpaceX doesn't need this money to make profits from Starlink, but I can't blame them for trying to get it. I think this program is a payoff system for politicians to favor those who give them the political donations.
FCC is also in the news about satellites. The FCC has power over satellites?
Their power over satellites is supposed to be limited to determining the frequencies that are used. Now, the FCC's job, Communications Commission, is supposed to regulate the use of the wavelength frequencies of various communication satellites so there's no conflicts. Over the decades, the FCC has slowly had mission creep, trying to take more and more control over the regulation of satellite operations. And so now they've announced that they're considering a new regulation that would require companies to deorbit defunct satellites from low Earth orbit in no more than 5 years after the satellite has been shut down. And this is not a bad idea, but I'm not sure this is the FCC's job. To make this kind of regulation, their job is not to regulate what's in space like this. Their job is to make sure that the frequencies don't conflict, and I don't see how this has anything to do with that. But they're making that offer. They're making this proposed regulation. There are others that are telling them that it's not going to really reduce space junk very significantly. And once again, this has anything to do with their regulatory authority. I really question that.
This is a great story. I've often puzzled what commerce does. I really don't understand it. Who needs a commerce department in a nation of capitalists? But we've got one. So they found something to do, Bob. They're going to follow objects in orbit. We can celebrate that great big building in Washington is now going to be Space Geeks.
Actually, John, I don't celebrate this at all because this is an example of the swamp creating work for itself that is not needed. The Defense Department, the military, has been tracking objects in space now for more than a half a century and doing so very competently. They track anything down to the size of a screw. And people know where they are. Well, the Congress, of course, passed the law, and they want to get Commerce involved in this. So the Defense Department is going to help Commerce create its own tracking ability to track these orbital objects from junk to satellites. And so that means we're going to have two different agencies doing this, the military and Commerce Department. What a waste of money, I got to tell you. But that's how our government works. That's how Washington functions. They're not interested in the nation. The interests of the nation, that doesn't interest them. What interests them is how much money they can get in their pockets.
And finally, the FAA and the NTSB have divided up if there's a space accident. Who gets the space accident if somebody's hurt?
That's right. The NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, which investigates airline accidents, has been trying to take control over the investigation of space accidents. And there's been conflict with the FAA, whose responsibility it has been up to now. And so these two agencies have now signed a memorandum of agreement whereby they split the turf. So if a person is injured or there is damage to property that has nothing to do with space on the ground, the NTSB will be the lead investigation agency, while the FAA does its own investigation parallel to that. Notice the redundancy again. The FAA, however, will be responsible for all investigations that don't involve human injury or damage to outside property. So that's why the FAA is leading the investigation into the Blue Origin accident we described earlier. And interesting enough, this agreement allows both agencies to run their own investigations anyway if from a supporting role if they're not the lead agency. So guess what? Government is once again providing redundancy and spending tax dollars twice for their own benefit.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed to Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.